I have been teaching from the book of 1 Corinthians. Can you believe this? I went back and looked at my notes. I started in April of 2023. And we're going to wrap up the book of 1 Corinthians today and next Sunday. Next Sunday, we'll finish chapter 16, and it will be April of 2025. So I've had you on this journey for 2 years, haven't been rushed, but there are something like a 13 mini-series in the book of 1 Corinthians. I've done 13 separate series as we flow through it, and today is another series that's two parts. Today is part one of two parts, and it's called Stand Fast in Faith. I'm going to talk to you about faith today. And today I want to talk to you about being brave. And here what we do is you get your Bibles out, open to 1 Corinthians, go to chapter 16, drop down to the last several verses, and we are going to really go through all these verses. No, we're not. We're going to do one verse today. We're going to cover one verse, and that's going to be verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14 say this: watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I want to talk to you about standing fast in faith. I want to talk to you about faith. I'm going to give you a hit of faith. I'm going to give you 5 years of research about faith in 40 minutes. So you are going to need to take notes, you're going to need to listen to this again, and you're going to need to pay attention, because if you will hear what I have to say and share with you today, your life can be completely different. So let's jump in it. We'll cover verse 13 today, and then we'll cover the rest of them next week and finish the book of 1 Corinthians. And I want to start by looking at these words: watch, stand fast, be brave, and strong. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. This is one tiny little sentence that Paul is saying to the church of Corinth. And he's telling everybody, not just them, he's telling us. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be brave. He wants us to be in the faith. So let's begin with the word watch. The Greek word for watch means to be alert. Whenever you're doing a faith journey, which should be every day of your life, you should be walking in faith. You should be listening to God. You should be following the voice of the Holy Spirit everywhere you go in life. You should be sensitive. And this word for watch literally means to be alert. It means to be sensitive. It means that you should, on purpose, be thinking about where I am. Be present. I get to do an announcement. We, as a family, we as grandma and grandpa, are expecting our 13th grandchild. Our daughter Stephanie and her husband Paul are going to be having a baby boy in October, and it'll be our 13th grandchild. I told them, you've messed it up. You have to have another one. Because we have 3 sons, 3 daughters, 6 grandsons, 6 granddaughters, and now a 7th grandson? Okay, yeah, baker's dozen's okay, but we need another granddaughter to even it all out, all right? But I was telling one of my daughters the other day, I was saying, okay, now that I'm 70 years old and I look at life and I actually can see life in my future are less years than the life behind me. And it really affects you. It really changes how you think. It really is, impactful. And I said, you know, the thing that I think about, that I go back and think about, is this statement. If I would have known then what I know today, but listen now, I did not spend enough time in the past in the moment, enjoying the moment. I spent too much time thinking about what could happen, and it usually was what negative could happen. What if I don't keep my job? What if I can't pay my bills? What if I get sick? What if, and every if was a negative, making it so that I couldn't enjoy the moment. And now I look back and God held my hand the whole way. How come I didn't enjoy the moment knowing he had my hand while we're going through the day? That is a life lesson that is changing my future, my present and my future, because I made a determination recently, I'm going to enjoy the moment. I'm going to enjoy the day. Jesus said, what are you worried about tomorrow for? There's nothing you can do about it, except go into it with faith. And if you go into tomorrow with faith, you can enjoy today. And that's what we're going to be talking about. So in your day, you want to be alert. You want to be listening to the Holy Spirit. Paul says you need to be a person of watch, be alert, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The word stand fast, it's a Greek word, one word, that says this, to stand, to continue to be, keep being the same. In order to stand, it means to have consistency in your life. If you're going to watch, be alert, and stand fast, standing fast means that you are going to be the same person. You're going to be a believer in Jesus Christ today, 10 minutes from now, 10 hours from now, 10 months from now, 10 years from now. You need to be stand fast. Standing fast is that you believe God is in control. You have it all, Lord, just like we sang today. You have it all, Lord, and you can have it all. And if you're going to sing, you can have it all, you need to believe that he does have it, and you need to believe he's in control, and he's helping you out. And so the word brave, to be brave, is to exhibit courage in the face of danger. To be brave, to be courageous. How can you exhibit courage in the face of danger? Life is full of danger. Danger is waiting for you every day. In order for you to face danger, you need to be brave. You need to believe who God is. You need to believe who God has said you are. You need to believe that God is backing up his promises. You need to be there and standing in faith with God. To be strong, this is pretty amazing. The word to be strong means to become strong psychologically. When it means mental fortitude. And the only way you can have it is if you hold on to scriptures in your brain, in your mind, and memorize, and that you're able to quote scripture, you're able to believe God, what he says, you're able to embrace it inside your heart, that you believe that God is who he says he is, you believe that God will do what he says he will do. And this is to be strong. Also, to be strong means to know who you are in Christ and to know your spiritual rights. That you need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know the authority that you have as a believer. You need to know what God did for you at your salvation. You need to know what he has done for you right now, that you are as he is in this world. That's what the Bible tells us, that we have authority. We have the right to fix things, to do things, to follow God, to do his plan. Take a moment, going to pause, and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, because trying to be alert, and that is, I feel impressed of the Holy Spirit to pray for people, whether they're watching online, whether you're watching online, whether you're in this house, who have a problem with your nervous system. Particularly right now, someone's got pain with their sciatic nerve, and it's shooting down your leg, and also, it's particularly in your right, behind your right knee, that you have some pain. I don't know if you're watching, I don't know if you're in the room, but if you've got an issue with your nervous system, if you've got something that's going on with your nervous system, or you have a sciatic issue, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Okay, here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, let's leave your hand, let's pray. You at home, just put your hand up. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, release those pinched nerves. Release those nervous situations. Heal the nervous system. The nerve system. Heal it throughout the whole body. Let the power and presence of the Holy Spirit filter through every part of the body and touch them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so you are to know who you are in Christ. You are to know your spiritual rights. Let's go back. Now I want to talk to you in the same verse 13. Watch, stand fast in the faith. I want to talk to you about faith. because all of this is wrapped around faith. You're supposed to watch in the faith. You're supposed to stand fast in the faith. You're supposed to be brave in the faith, and you're supposed to be strong in the faith. All of it is wrapped around that one word, and the faith is all one word in the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, but without faith, it is impossible. Impossible. It will never happen to please God. It is impossible to please Him. You cannot please God without faith. Now, if you don't understand what faith is, if you don't understand how to use it, how can you please God? You could do the greatest works in all the world. You could give your body to be burned, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. He said you could love people to death and be kind and be the greatest person in all the world. You can make pies and deliver them to everybody in your neighborhood and be so nice and wonderful. But if you don't have faith, you're not pleasing God. You can give all the money you have to the church. That doesn't please God. What pleases God is faith. Without faith, it is impossible. Impossible. This is Christianity 101. This is the foundation of your success. This is the foundation of your spiritual journey. And if you don't get this, how are you ever going to succeed in your Christian life? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he, this is he and she, this is you and I, for he who comes to God must believe that that God exists. In this phrase, he is in reference to he is who he says he is, not who you say you are. He is. This is his declaration. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you know how many Christians believe that God is a punisher and not a rewarder? They look at God as one that takes stuff away. They look at one that God is mad at you all the time. And if you think God is mad at you all the time, then you don't have the very foundation and core of faith. The foundation and core of faith is to believe that God exists, he is who he says he is, and that he will reward those who diligently seek him. You've got a promise from God's mouth himself. He goes, you come after me, I'll make sure you're rewarded. So I should be looking for rewards from God. I should be looking for God doing things in my life. I should be submitting to his way of life, his journey, his word, his will, his way. And then, so here's what I want to talk to you about today. We're going to cover all of this. What is faith? Who has faith? Can I get more faith? How does faith work? Why did God make the faith system in the first place? And how do I use faith on purpose? And how to stand tall in faith? You ready? Yeah. We're going to go. This is Faith 101. So let's go. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we got two things that faith is. It is substance and it is evidence. The word substance, the Greek word substance, means that which provides the basis for trust and reliance. So that it says that you're going to trust something, you're going to rely on something that's providing it. What is it? You know, if you look at a chair and you see that the chair has four legs and you look like the chair looks like it's stable, you may sit in the chair. But if you saw that the chair was missing one of its legs, are you going to sit in it? If you do sit in it, you might sit in it real, like, cautiously and try to use your leg as one of the chair's legs. So substance, that which provides the basis for trust and reliance. What provides the basis for trust in God? The basis of trust in God is going to be his word, what he said. Reliance, what's going to provide reliance is going to be his consistency of keeping his word. You reading the Old Testament stories, you reading the New Testament stories, you reading the Bible, you hearing testimonies of other people, you have an experience where God has rescued you, God has answered prayer. The word evidence, the Greek word means the evidence. It's normally based on argument or discussion as to the truth or reality of something. It's proof, it's vindication, and it's saying right here. Faith is two things. It's substance. It's actually a living, true, breathing thing. It's substance. It is something. It is something that you have. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the actual thing. You're hoping for something. No, let's get this. Substance of things hoped for, something you don't see, something you don't have right now. But you believe God wants you to have it. You believe you will possess it. Your faith is the substance of that thing. And it's also the evidence of what's not seen. It's the evidence you're going to have it because of what you believe. Now, here's what you need to understand. Who has faith? According to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, for I say through the grace that is given to me, everyone who is among you, everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, there's some argument about is it saying in the Greek a measure or the measure? And I don't care which side you take. It really doesn't matter because both of them are saying the same thing, where it is a measure of faith. Something has been given to you. You have received something from God. Who's your favorite superhero? You have a superhero? Your favorite one? Spider-Man. It could be because he's cool. It's supposed to be. Some of the movies, they didn't do a good job at. But they have powers. I remember when our grandson, who turned 10 years old yesterday, was like 4. And him and I are wrestling. And I would pick him up and I threw him on the couch at our house and I pretend to tie him up. He thought it was the funniest thing. He'd just lay there so straight. And I would tie him up with invisible chains and ropes and stuff. And he goes, I have powers. And he breaks the chains and the ropes, jumps off the couch and goes, rah! He knew he had power. Do you know you have power? You have power that God has given you. You possess powers. You are a spiritual superhero. And the power that you possess is faith. Who has faith? For I say to you, each one, the measure of faith, God has given you a measure of faith. Can I get more faith? I'm going to tell you the answer and then read the scripture. No. You're not going to get more faith. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith begins when you hear and respond to the call of the Holy Spirit to say yes to Jesus. On the day that you said yes to Jesus, on the day that you got born again, you were given the gift of faith. You're not going to get any more. Faith is measured by how you use it. You have the ability to make it stronger or weaker, but you're not going to get more. When you were born, it was tough. I had to close my eyes to focus on Jesus when this little tiny Bodhi is sitting right here. I thought, okay, wait a minute. This is really conflicting. Do I look at this cute little baby or do I look to Jesus? And it was such a holy moment. I had to close my eyes. Bodhi has the very same muscles that you have. Very same muscles that his dad has. The numbers are the same, but dad's are larger. Bodhi has to grow into his muscles. You have the same amount of faith as anyone. You just have to grow into it. You just grow into your faith. And here's a couple examples. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. And Jesus is asleep on the boat. The storm's going all over with. The disciples wake Jesus up, and he says to them, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? The little faith was not in the quantity, but in the strength of it. It wasn't in you don't have such small amount, you need to go find some more and gather it up and get more. What you need to do is you need to work your faith and make that faith muscle stronger. He says, you are so fearful. Why are you of so little faith? You of little faith. And he rose and he rebuked the winds and sea. So he got upset at him. He goes, man, you guys are babies. He called them Bodhis. And Matthew 8:10 says this, okay, this is where a centurion comes to Jesus and asks for him to heal his servant. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said, and oh, here's what Jesus, what happened. The centurion came and said, would you heal my servant? He's dying. He's paralyzed. He's having a horrible time. He says, I'll come to your house and heal him. That's what he said. I will come to your house and heal him. Did you know Jesus wants to come to your house and heal you? I will come to your house and heal you. He said, oh, no. Don't do that. Just say the word. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. Just say the word. Because when you say the word, he'll be healed. Jesus said about that, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, again, in the not in the quantity, but in the size of it, the strength of it, the way he's using his faith, great faith, not even in Israel. You are not getting more faith. You are going to strengthen the faith that you have. You have all the faith that's been given to you. Someone doesn't have more faith than you. Someone's just using theirs more often. That you have to keep using your faith. You have to use it all the time. It will be like a muscle. It could go lazy and fat and floppy. Okay, none of us like floppy underarms. Yeah, that's like, I saw it the other day, I goes, oh no, push-ups time. So I'm on the quest right now to get to 100 push-ups in 6 weeks. Okay, let's answer these next two questions. How does faith work? Why did God make the faith system? Okay, why'd you even do this thing? And how does it all operate? If I have faith, how do I use it on purpose? How do I work it? So according to Mark 11, 23, verse 24, 23 and 24, for assuredly I say to you, and this one is really important because people, you've got to get this concept. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Here's what you need to understand. Jesus pauses his disciples and he gives them a spiritual law, a spiritual truth, something that is absolutely true. And this is the same as the law of gravity. Gravity works all the time. And in this law of physics, gravity, there's a law of the spirit world, and he gives them the law of the spirit world. If you say something and there's zero doubt in your heart, it's going to happen. Then he does this. Look at the next verse. Therefore, or because of this spiritual law, what I'm about to say is true. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, which means you're speaking, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Verse 24 is an action, or it is a result of 23. But here's the problem. The majority of you don't believe what you say is true. You don't live the spiritual law that is being informed to us or revealed to us by Jesus himself. He said that if you believe what you say with your mouth is absolutely true, the mountain moves. But how many of you use this phrase? I was just kidding. I didn't mean it. That's not what I meant. I was just joking around. If you're an individual that says regularly, oh, just kidding, oh, just kidding, oh, just kidding, either you're a liar because you really meant what you said, or you don't say what you really mean, and you're weakening your faith in your spiritual position. If you don't believe the own words, the words of your mouth, where's your spiritual power? Then one day you are going to want to pray for a serious issue, and you're going to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, and you're going to wonder why I'm not getting what I'm asking, because most of the time you don't believe what you say. Selah, which is Hebrew for sink it in, think about it, regurgitate it, put it back in the other stomach. Okay, think about that one at 2 o'clock this morning. Romans 4, 16 through 21. Here's what this says, okay? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Answering the question, why did God do this? Why did God create the faith system? Here's why he created the faith system: for all the seed. Not only to those who are of the law, the Jews, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. The Bible calls us children of Abraham. Abraham is the father of faith. Abraham is the one who believed something that was impossible to believe for and got what he believed for. And then we are part of him. God told Abraham that his descendants would be more than the stars in the sky. I don't know if you realize that did not mean just physical descendants. It meant all of us who believe in the faith that the Messiah would come, and now we believe the Messiah has come. And he says, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So this is telling us the reason God produced a faith system is so it's available to everybody. This is equity. This is true equality for everyone. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter how you were brought up. It doesn't matter your level of education. It doesn't matter your skill level. It doesn't matter your ability to play a musical instrument or can't. Or it doesn't matter that you are skilled in construction or you are skilled in something else. It makes no difference. Every human being must please God by faith. You must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And he did it so everybody can get saved. He did it so everyone can have their prayers answered. He did it so that you could have his kingdom in your life. Your kingdom come, your will be done is a prayer of Jesus. And do you think that prayer isn't activating and working in all of our lives? God wants his kingdom in your life. And if he's going to get his kingdom in your life, you're going to have to do it his way. And he says his way is the way of faith. And then we continue in this story of Abraham. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. Him, in the presence of him, God, whom he, Abraham, believed. And this is what he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God is the author of saying something in the present world when it hasn't even happened yet. God is the one that called you healed on the cross of Jesus Christ when he put all your sickness and disease on him. He's the one that put all your sin on him on the cross. And when he put all of that on the cross, he called you saved. All you have to do is agree with it and say, yes, Lord, come into my life. And when you acknowledge who Jesus is, the Son of God, and that he died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later was raised from the dead, and you acknowledge him as the Son of God and the Lord of your life, he gives you the gift of faith, making you a do-do-do-do-do-do-do like Mario Brothers, going to Super Mario guy. And then you are now a superhero. And in this superhero calling, God is asking you to use your faith on purpose. He's asking you to affect other people, make a difference in other people's lives, actually believe in God. Continue, verse 18. So contrary to hope, in hope believed, this is Abraham. Contrary to hope, to world hope, in hope, spiritual hope, he believed. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. The only thing Abraham believed was what God said. That's all. He just believed what God said. I mean, Abraham is approximately 90 years old at the time that this is said. Sarah's about 80. Abraham gets told, you're going to have a child. And then this is going to turn into a nation. It was almost 10 years before that actually took place. In the meantime, they decided to try to do it themselves, you know, with a maidservant and all that. You know the story. If you don't, go back and read it. amazing book called the Book of Genesis. Just amazing. One of my favorite in the whole Bible. And then jump to Ephesians. Contrary to hope, in hope believe, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, he simply believed what God said. He believed that God is able. He believed God is a rewarder. He believed, okay, you want to do this? Go ahead and do it. That's it. That's what faith does. Faith believes. If you're not believing, you're not in faith, you're in doubt. And doubt is a different animal that's trying to overpower your faith. You don't lose faith. You know, it doesn't fall off of you and you got to go get more, but your faith can get weak because you start doubting God. You stop believing what he said and you stop looking towards him. Then he says in verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he didn't say not having enough faith. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Wasn't given more faith. His faith just got stronger. He was just working his faith. And the way he worked his faith is kept thinking about what God said, what God said, what God said, what God said. When I take scripture and I repeat it to me and I read it out loud and I give God credit that he said it, I believe it, he said it, I believe it, that strengthens my faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's the original step of faith where you get the faith of God in your life. The time of salvation. But now as I read scripture and hear more scripture, the faith I have gets stronger. But if you haven't read the Bible in 4 years, I'm going to tell you right now, you know, it's like, I don't know why I'm doing these movie stuff, but it's like the Matrix. They just got you out of the system and you're now getting all these needles in to try to get your muscles to work and stuff. You said, I have no clue what you're talking about. That's okay. The Holy Spirit will give you another example. But here's what I want you to see. Wavering at the promise. Abram, here's how faith works. Faith isn't looking at the circumstances. It isn't looking at the bad person at work. It isn't looking at the lack of money to pay the bill. It isn't looking at the circumstances. It's focused on what God promised. If I focus on what God has promised me, my faith will get stronger. If I focus on all the negative of the world, my faith will get weaker. And Abraham did not waver at the promise. He just said, it's what you said. This is what you said. This is what you said. This is what you said. Verse 21. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. You need, when you are believing God for something in your life, to be fully convinced that God is able to do it. And the way you do that is getting more word inside you. Okay, how do I use my faith on purpose? Number six, you didn't think we'd make it through the list. And look, we're at number six. Oh, ye of little faith. How do I use faith on purpose? And here's what I'm saying is, you want to actually, on purpose, see something that you want to change and you want to use your faith for it. You want to get healed. You want a new job. You want some bill paid. You want a relationship to be healed. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because there's a good thing from the Father of above us that wants to come into your life and he wants to give you something. So here we go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. Let's get the same confidence that Abraham had. This is the confidence that we have in him that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Spiritual law. You ask according to the will of God. Well, what happens if I don't ask according to the will of God? According to that, he's not paying attention. But there's so much that you can use and need in your own life that is the will of God. For an example, let's say that you need a new car. God wants to get you a new car. He may find you an absolute great deal on a used car. You may end up with a brand new car, but what kind of car do you get? Now, if you your lust gets in the way and you want a car that you can't even afford the oil change, what good is that car for you? If you can't afford the maintenance on the car, then don't get the car. I mean, there is a place that you live within your standard of living that God wants you to live in a responsible way, financially responsible, and move forward. But he does want you to have, in Southern California, most of us need a car. That's just the way they built it. But most of us need a car. God knows you need a car. God will help you get a car. God will help you get a reliable car. Could be new, could be used, but what I'm saying is you're catching on, right? He hears us. And then look at this, verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Whoa! This is scripture. This is God saying to you, stay in line with my will, be alert, keep watching, stand fast, be bold, be brave, keep going forward, and I'll make sure you have what you need to do the journey that I asked you to walk and the assignment I asked you to live and the life I asked you to live. Now, number 7, how to stand tall in faith. Takes us back to our one verse for the day. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. This Greek word for faith is one word. And now what we have is the definite article, the, in front of it. And it literally means whenever you find the word the faith, it's referring to the faith of God. To believe, it means to believe to the extent of complete trust and reliance. To believe in, to have confidence in, to have faith in, to trust, faith, trust. To trust, faith, trust. Yeah, that's right. The faith is the exact same thing that Abraham did. In order for you to stand tall in faith, you have to understand that faith is having complete trust and reliance in God. I put this in. You are to trust God like you trust a roller coaster or a zip line or like a parachute. You know, if you were getting on a roller coaster, first of all, not a fan, because I'm not a fan of throwing up. In January, Suzette and I were at Disney World a couple of days after we visited, bless you, after we visited our granddaughters in a cheerleading, national cheerleading competition. And so we snuck, and none of the grandkids knew, we snuck over to Disneyland for Disney World for 2 days. And Suzette had been on this ride. What's that ride? The brand new one, Guardian of the Galaxies at Disney World at the Epcot Center. And she had been on it the time before we were there. And she got off. She says, oh, this is so great, so wonderful, so smooth. She just do it. Oh, man, I think you can do it. And so she buys me for Christmas one of these electronic devices that go on your wrist. It's supposed to put electronic pulse through to help with motion sickness, pregnant women, morning sickness, other things like that. And so I put it on, I'm wearing it. We're going, and she's telling me, oh, you're going to love this. And they have the, they have all this music and everything. I said, does it go backwards? Oh, no, I don't think so. And we're, oh, you're going to love it. So we get in, and it goes forward, and then it goes backwards. And while we're moving, it's spinning while we're moving. And she thought to herself, here's what she thought, the kind, wonderful wife that she is. She thought, her first thought was, oh my. And then she thought this, nothing I can do about it, so I'm going to enjoy the ride. And I don't know if you ever noticed when you're on a roller coaster ride, if you're the farther back you are, the whippier it is, the worse it is. So we decided, this was another time that we were there a few years ago, we decided to go on Slinky Dog Dash, which is in Toy Story. I mean, how bad could that be? And so we get the very last back car. And the thing goes in and out like a slinky. And so it's going like this. And you know how they take pictures? So the picture that showed up of us, I'm literally, and she's like this. I hate roller coasters. But when you get on a roller coaster, you got to trust the company. You have to trust the rail. You have to trust the car. You have to trust that thing that holds you in. You know, all of those things. You got to trust those things. And if you don't trust them, you're going to freak out. But this is an example of how you should be trusting God. Watch. Be alert. Stand fast. To stand, to continue to be. Keep being the same in all that you face. This stand fast is very, very important. What's interesting is, you know in Ephesians chapter 6 where it says, having done all to stand, stand? Different Greek word. In this verse, this word for stand, which is stand fast, again, we got one word here, it means to continue to be the same. When things flip, are you still going to say the promises that you were told? Are you still going to hold on to the word of God? Are you still going to say God is true? Or are you going to start saying, I don't know if this is going to ever change? Or are you just going to give up? And the thing is, when you pray for something, and let me set you up for success instead of you setting yourself up for failure. One of the worst things you can do when you pray for something in your life is tell God mentally, you figure out how he should answer the prayer. You may not say it out loud. You may not say, God, I want you to do it this way. But you may mentally think about it. I believe God will do it like this because that's the way it's got to be. And it doesn't happen that way. It starts challenging your faith and you start doubting this because of the circumstances that are in front of you. So instead of you deciding how it should be, you decide just to stand fast. God, it's in your hands, and I'll walk this journey with you, and I'll keep being the man or woman of God you want me to be. I will not give up on your promises. Be brave to exhibit courage in the face of danger. This is how to stand fast. You need to be just have courage. Be brave. Just oh, I was so brave on Galaxy Ride. The thing helped a little bit because it, I think it only took me 20 minutes to recover instead of 45 minutes. Of course, she had to go get me a Sprite. I had to get some carbonation. Anyway, in life, it wants to take you on a roller coaster ride. It wants to shake you up. It wants you to spin. It wants to distract you. You have to watch, constantly hear the Holy Spirit telling you, go right, go left, stand fast, be consistent in what you are doing and what the Word of God has said, and be brave in the midst of all that you're facing, and be strong. To become strong psychologically simply means I am not giving up on what God has promised and what's in the Word. I'm going to have mental strength. I'm going to stay focused on the Lord, and I'm going to see that new car. I'm going to see that new job. I'm going to see that healing of the relationship. I'm going to see those finances turn around, and I'm going to let God do it his way, but I know the end result will be my victory because you said so. Amen? Amen. 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 In my fight that I'm in, or the journey that I'm on right now, I don't even consider it a fight. I had some signs and wonders happen. And so I want to share them with you so that you could embrace signs and wonders that could happen in your life. One of the signs and wonders, and you may think that this is freaky. You may think this is weird. But I don't. I just took it. I was on the golf course. And it never happened before. I was on the golf course, and these ducks flew right over me in the shape of a V. Okay, listen to the whole story. I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. And then in the same week, I'm on the freeway, the 91 freeway, when you could actually drive. It was opposite traffic. So it was we were actually moving. And it happened again. They got right over my car and stayed over my car for about a half a mile. Pretty cool. Then Kim, who's sitting over here, she leads our outreach ministry, you know, to the all the stuff that you bring in. She organizes it all and gets it, the bags to people and the homeless, and helps out tremendous in outreach. She came and told me that she had a dream or a vision. It was a vision. And she said, do you remember the little toy army men that are green? And they're on a green platform. Some of you have no clue. They'll find them in museums. You can find them. But they're little army men. She said, I saw a little army man holding up a sign, and it said, victory, and it was for you. And then I told her this. Those little army men, when I was 5 to 10 years old, were my favorite toy I ever had. Those little green army men. They were just awesome. Played with them all the time. That's, to me, is a sign and wonder where God got to me three times, victory, 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 victory. Amen? And you too will have signs and wonders if you are alert to the things that God is communicating to you in another way. Those three things have brought in a tremendous amount of peace in my heart, so I'm focused on the end result and what God wants to do. And then I follow the journey. And I shared with you earlier my journey, what I'm doing, what's happening. And some may say, well, if you got the victory, why are you doing anything? You should just, no, I'm following, I'm alert, listening, and walking a journey of faith. Did you learn something today? Can we give the Lord a hand?